This is an iHeart podcast.
Let's have a talk about the courts, the country, the Constitution. Let's talk to Liz Wheeler. Trump made a big announcement. Sarah Gonzalez is here. All that and more coming up tonight on I'm Right. Okay, before we have a heavy, heavy talk about the Constitution and the country and the courts and deportation and all that terrible stuff, which we'll get to in just a moment, I want to get to this, which is more terrible, obviously, honoring the fallen. We lost a couple Marines in training last week. Well, not training. They were on the southern border. Okay, so they're down there for a reason. It was a non-combat thing. It happens. Vehicles crash. This was a vehicle accident. This is as common as anything. It happens. And in ancient times, men died falling off their horses. Okay. Sucks. But it happened, and they died serving their country. Lance Corporal Albert Aguilera, who's 22 years old, and Lance Corporal Marcelino Gamino, he was 28 years old. Semper Fi, young brothers, they gave their lives for this country. Honor their sacrifice as we do here on the first. All right? Okay. Now, let's talk about the courts, the Trump administration, you and me. Let's talk about the United States of America. And this is going to come back to the Supreme Court. Just let's give away the end of it here in case you weren't paying attention. Most everybody was. Over the weekend, the Supreme Court decided that the Trump administration cannot use the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 to deport members of Tren de Aragua, a prison gang. Now, I should be perfectly clear about this. It was a temporary thing. The Supreme Court says, hey, you're not allowed to deport them anymore. We have to wait on this court and that court. We'll wait on a couple things. But at least for now, you're not going to do it. We have to slow down and make sure we're doing this the right way. Okay. So that is actually what I wanted to talk to you about. And I am perfectly aware that what I'm about to say is going to chafe on many, many people. You may get angry. You may turn off the television. You may send me hate mail, and all that stuff is fine. It doesn't change anything about what I'm going to say. So here's what it is. First, I want you to picture this. I want you to picture that you are playing Monopoly, game of Monopoly, against somebody you don't like at all. Picture the person who's the person you hate the most. Just you and them, you're playing a game of Monopoly, okay? And in Monopoly, as you are well aware, even if you've never played it yourself, there are rules, of course. There's dice. You have to roll the die. There are different cards. You want to try to land on this property. There are little cards at random that you get. Hey, you get $500. Hey, you owe $500. Just random things like that. I am going to administer the rules of the game. There are rules of the game. I'm going to oversee the game and administer the rules of the game. Now, let's say the person you're playing against decides they don't have any need for these rules, no need for these rules at all. So when it's time for them to cast a die, instead of using the game's die, they simply grab the loaded die that they brought along that rolls whatever number they want. Now, this would be the point where you would think I, the administrator of the rules, would step in and say, no, but I let them go. No, use your own die. It's all good there. When they get a chance card or something they don't like, oh, pay 10% in taxes. Don't like that. They just put it back and keep fishing till they get a card they want. Me, I'm sitting there overseeing the whole thing. No, it's fine. Do whatever you want. That's what I do when it's their turn. But then, when your turn comes along, you have to use, you're going to use the dice I give you, the dice of the game. No, don't think you're going to switch out that chance card. Nope. You do the game the right way. You follow the rules. I am the administrator, and you will follow the rules. Let me ask you something. Who's going to win that game? It's inevitable. The game cannot be won by you. It's not humanly possible. especially when the administrator is very clearly in on allowing them to do the most evil things in the world, and you have to follow the rules. Now, let's talk about the country, the courts, immigration, the Constitution. Let's chat, shall we? One, let me go ahead and get this out of the way right off the bat, and I want to make sure I'm crystal clear about this. Where we are as a country, it saddens me a great deal. What I'm about to talk about, I don't celebrate. I'm not cheering it on. I'm not, I think what I'm about to talk about, what I'm about to say, is the most awful thing in the world. Because I want the United States of America to stay together, to be a good, wonderful country that exists for my kids and their kids and their kids after them. That's my desire. But here's where we are as a country. The American left hates the United States of America. It sucks, but that's where we are. Half the country hates the country. And because they hate the country, when they are elected, when they get power, you saw this for 4 years under Joe Biden, a part of hating the country means they will ignore every law, they will ignore every rule, they will simply set these things aside, and they will bring in as many barbarians, as many foreigners as they can possibly bring in and the time they have. They won't just open up the doors at the border. They will fly them in as fast as they can. They will take large chunks of your money and they'll send planes to other countries and load those planes full of illegals and fly them into your town. That is how committed the communists are to destroying the United States of America. And while Joe Biden did that, while Biden and the Maoists in his government did that, no court stopped them. They were never stopped. Nothing was treated as an emergency. Nothing was, there were no breaks on it at all. And there were all kinds of violations of the law and the rules and norms. There was nothing. They just kept going. Nothing stopped them. Over and over. Remember one morning? Do you remember the Haitians? Remember the Haitians? One morning we woke up and there were 14,000 freaking Haitians on the southern border. And we're looking around all, wait, what? And then we started to get a little suspicious because it was a day or two, and the administration, do you remember the administration kept trying to stop news coverage of it? Hey, don't show those people on camera. I believe it was 3 days. Might be wrong about that, but I believe it was 3 days. We woke up, and they were gone in one night. The Biden administration waited until everyone was asleep and the sun dipped down. And the Biden administration took 14,000 Haitians and brought every single one of them into your country. Maybe they're going to school with your children right now. Every rule, every norm, every law set aside. And the courts, including the Supreme one, sat back. Ah, it's all right. Well, maybe we'll get to that. Well, hold on just a moment. The rules of the game completely set aside, completely ignored. The administrators of the rules couldn't be bothered to step in. For 4 years, the mnemonic communists known as Democrats filled up your country with as many foreigners as humanly possible. Now, we have 4 years. And I want to be crystal clear about this. You cannot get them all out in 4 years, no matter what you do. It's not humanly possible. That many people spread out over a country this vast or so mixed into so many communities and ingrained here without any breaks, without any courts, without anything, the Trump administration cannot possibly remove 20 million people with the speed Joe Biden brought them in. That is with no courts, no obstructions at all. With no obstructions at all, we cannot fix what Democrats have broken in the last 4 years. That's with no obstructions. But instead, what we have now is we are well north of 100 days into the Trump presidency. We are roughly 1/8 done with the Trump presidency, and court after court after court after court after court, including the Supreme one, continues to throw up roadblocks every chance they get. Whoa, 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 not quite yet. Hold on, you got to go through that. Hey, he deserves some due process. Whoa, hold on, that's got to go to the lower court with an injunction. So I understand there are all kinds of legal arguments. Or, well, you have to do things the right way and due process. And you know what? And I'm not actually going to argue against you with any of those things. You can bring up the habeas corpus and all that. That's fine, but totally fine. I'm not a legal scholar. Do not pretend to be. But I am most definitely somebody who can see reality. And here is the reality. If the communists are allowed to import as many foreign barbarians into the country as they possibly can, and they will, with their 4 years of power, and we are not allowed to deport them as quickly as they have imported, then the United States of America will end. The country is simply going to come apart and break apart in some way that's going to be terrible. We will break apart. We will end. Most likely something god-awful like a civil war or some kind of horrible thing. But it will end, and it will end terribly. And that is a fact. I don't care about any of your other arguments. What about the Constitution? What about the Fifth? I don't care what your arguments are. If we are not allowed to deport foreigners at the same pace they import foreigners, we're finished. It's over. Can't be won. Can't be done. And so my final message here as I wrap this up is actually not for you. It's for the Trump administration. And I'm assuming they know this, but maybe they don't. So here's the reality of it. I don't want a dictator. I want to be free. I want to live in a constitutional republic as a free man, where I get a voice, a say. I do not want a dictator. I hope you don't either. We are going to get one. If the Trump administration is not willing to go far enough, ignore these courts, including the Supreme Court, and move forward with the mass deportation of barbarians, if the Trump administration is not allowed to implement the will of the voters, and we still see poll after poll after poll, the will of the voters remains with Trump and mass deportations. If the will of the voters is not allowed by the courts or this or that, then the right will choose a dictator very shortly, in your lifetime, including in mine. If the Trump administration is given the mandate it was given, and for 4 years they are prevented from mass deportations, the next Republican nominee will be somebody who promises to throw journalists in prison. I'm not even close to kidding. That is how serious this situation is right now. And that is my fear. And I hope the Trump administration knows this. Ignore the Supreme Court. Anyone who tries to stop you, anyone, any entity, any human being, no matter their title, throw them in prison too. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have a huge show for you here. Speaking of all this stuff, we'll talk to Sarah Gonzalez about Tren de Aragua and other things. Before we talk to her, let me talk to you about that garbage cell phone you have. The cell phone itself is probably fine. I'm talking about your provider, your mobile provider. Who is it? Is it Verizon? Or T-Mobile? AT&T? These companies hate you. They hate you. And they take your money and they use it against you all the time. That's the worst part. It's not just the evil things they do. They do it with our money. And I'm guilty. I've had Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. Every time I paid my bill, I was funding all this communist filth. Oh, look, another drag race. The drag parade, I mean. Drag race. Anyway, switch to Pure Talk. Save yourself some money. They're on the same network. You're not making sacrifices here. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. Well, stuff like this, I don't know what I want to say about it because I'm not surprised. A New Mexico judge, Democrat, he resigned because ICE arrested a member of Tren de Aragua in his home. And I know you already know this point before I bring in Sarah. Tren de Aragua is a prison gang so violent they control portions of Venezuela with, of course, the permission of Venezuela's evil communist government. And they're so violent and so nasty that Venezuela's communist government shipped them, as many as they could, to the United States of America. Joe Biden let them all in. And now there's a New Mexico Democrat that... is he renting to him? Joining me now, Sarah Gonzalez, host of Unfiltered on Blaze TV. Sarah, I'm not even surprised. Democrats, this is their party.
It is their party. And you know what, Jesse? First of all, I appreciate you having me on to speak as a position of authority on this matter, being that my last name is Gonzalez. And I would just say I at least can appreciate, I can appreciate that these people, for so long, we have told them, why don't you house these people? Why don't you have all of these illegals? Why don't you put them in your home? Because the argument was, of course, that they're so good for this country. Well, you guys house them. At least now they're doing that. They're housing literal violent Venezuelan gang criminals in their homes. Listen, I just ask for consistency. I would say that this guy is probably not too bright, but at least consistent with his policy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I do have a question about the so setting aside the whole national disgrace part of the Democrat Party. Politically, are they making a mistake? Senator Van Hollen, who went down to El Salvador to love on that MS-13 guy, here he was trying to clean up his boo-boo.
Worried though that you are sticking your neck out for somebody who maybe down the line is proven to be connected to MS-13.
I want to be very clear. I'm not vouching for the man. I'm vouching for the man's rights, his constitutional rights to due process.
Sarah, obviously, Van Hollen doesn't care about his rights or due process or any of those other things. Democrats have decided this guy is the new symbol, but isn't that a mistake when you look at the poll numbers for how the country thinks about illegal immigration right now?
Well, Jesse, I'm trying to decide how I want to answer this question because if there are any Democrats who are listening, I would like for them to know that no, it is not a mistake. Please continue advocating for these literal criminals and they will never win another election again. But I mean, to your point as well, of course they don't care. Do they care about the constitutional rights of Lake and Riley? Do they care about the constitutional rights of Patty Morin's daughter, Rachel Morin, who both of whom were killed by illegal immigrants? Of course, these people don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about due process. All of those which should be extended to American citizens and not actual foreign criminals. But yes, to answer your question, Jesse, if these people continue using these taxpayer dollars to, to fly over, gallivant over to El Salvador to visit with literal criminals, they will never win another election again. So I would encourage them to continue advocating for literal illegal criminals. It's not going to work out well.
Sarah, can you walk me through the thought process on the love of this guy? It's very clear the system has decided from the media that they've all decided this is the guy. What am I missing?
Well, I mean, you're not missing anything, Jesse. You're not missing because they are just completely retarded. Sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to use that word on your program, but these people are just totally delusional. They have two, maybe two brain cells to rub together. And so they think that this is what the country wants, even though just last November, the country voted overwhelmingly in a mandate that we wanted something different. But that's all that these people know how to do, Jesse. They have made their entire identity hate Donald Trump, orange man bad. Whatever Donald Trump does, we do the opposite. And so that's their only play. That's the only thing that they know how to do is double, triple down on stupidity. And now here we are. We see the end result of that. They're like, you saw Chris Van What's-His-Face. I refuse to say his name. Chris Van What's-His-Face going on mainstream media and saying, well, who's to say maybe he's not an MS-13 gang member? Have you seen his knuckles? He has MS-13 tattooed on his hand. This is not a good guy. You heard it from his wife, who was like, yeah, he beat me. And this is not a good guy, but they don't know how to pivot to anything else because it's been their entire identity for like 10 years now.
So where do they pivot from here? I know there's a party civil war going on. I think it's fascinating to watch. You have people, well, do we need to walk away from the cultural Marxism stuff? And half of them say we haven't gone far enough in. Jasmine Crockett's apparently the new voice of the party. I think they're going to run him out. Where do they go or run her out? Where do they go from here?
Well, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, isn't it? Because you mentioned Jasmine Crockett, the new face of the party, but we also have the AOCs of the world. And so while the more cooler heads may be fighting within the party, we're noticing that the cooler heads are typically the older generation. I hate to say it, but this is how radical they are. Nancy Pelosi might be a more reasonable cooler head than, say, an AOC. And so where the party goes, I don't know. The younger people are going to be the ones to kind of navigate the direction of the party. And I'm just going to sit back with the popcorn. I mean, it couldn't happen to a more deserving group of people. For once, now the Republicans are on the outside looking in at the fighting rather than being the party with all of the infighting. It's going to be really, really beautiful to watch.
Sarah, what's with the Texas state legislature? What is it with these red states like mine, like yours? Why can't we get it together?
Oh my God, they suck, Jesse. They suck. They're terrible. The problem is that there are people who go into these red states and they know that the only way that they can win in their districts is to run as a Republican, even though they're not actually one. And so you have, it's not just Texas. I talk about this all the time and people think this is just a Texas problem. This is a nationwide problem in so many red states across the country who people don't pay attention. You have the average voter who thinks that the presidential election matters way more than local. That is not so. And so you have these Democrat operatives who are masquerading as Republicans who actually end up getting into office. And what ends up happening in all of these states is the same thing that's happening in Texas, which is the Democrats are actually running the show. So while the voters showed up and voted overwhelmingly for Republicans to rule the roost, the Republicans are actually not Republicans. There's only a handful of them. And so the rhinos end up giving the power to, of course, the Democrats. The Democrats are in control of the Texas House. It is just a total disgrace. And I think we need another bloodbath at the primaries come next session to weed out the rest of these rhinos that are left over from the Bush era.
Are we getting better at primaries here in Texas and in red states? And I ask because, as you know, I'm uniquely invested in my hatred of John Cornyn, and I'd like to see him lose next year.
Yeah, I think we are. I think we are because, you have all of this America First agenda that is really taking on and taking storm across the country. I do believe that Ken Paxton, who has just recently announced that he is running against John Cornyn, I think this is going to be the year that we see John Cornyn get defeated if he doesn't just decide not to run for re-election after he sees all of the polling. It is not good for him. Americans are overwhelmingly decisive on the America First agenda. Texans are very overwhelmingly decisive on the American First agenda. And so John Cornyn, I just don't think he lasts. I think people are waking up. They're more in tune now than ever. And I look forward to John Cornyn being sent into forced retirement early. Again, Jesse, couldn't happen to a more deserving person, John Cornyn, who has sold America, sold us out so many times, shipped our money to foreign countries. And just, I don't know if you saw my confrontation with him last summer, but he doesn't even want to answer to his constituents about it. So sayonara, John Cornyn, I think, Jesse.
Is this the start of remaking the party, Sarah? It feels, obviously, we have a lot of work to do. I get that. But it feels like we are beginning to change the kind of Republican we want representing us. And that's a good thing. It feels like we're going to start dumping some dead weight.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I know that a lot of people like to use the term that this is now the MAGA party. I disagree. I don't like using the term MAGA because what it is it's an America First party. And of course, that shouldn't be controversial. We want our legislators, we want our lawmakers, we want the people who we send to Washington, D.C. to put our country first because Americans are overtaxed, we're overworked, and we are tired of watching all of our hard-earned money go to fund forever wars. It's just enough. And I think Americans have watched this. They watched the last administration for 4 years literally put America last in every single thing that they did, and they see the result of that, right? It has made us less safe. It has made us, less stable. It has undermined all of the things, all of the founding principles of our country, and I think that we were at a tipping point, and Americans finally said, we have to put our country first. And so this is an America First party. This is an America First agenda, and the people are woken up to that, and they are no longer willing to tolerate people like John Cornyn undermining, all of the things that we do and we work so hard to accomplish. So I do think that there is an awakening, and I think that it is going to do nothing but great things for not just this party, but this country.
Agreed. Sarah Gonzalez, talk to you soon. Appreciate you. All right. The Pope died. I'm not Catholic, so I didn't say anything about it to open up the show, but maybe you are. There's a lot of Catholics who watch. Liz Wheeler's a Catholic. She's going to join us next, and I guess she'll talk about all that Catholic stuff with us. Want to pay our respects, or maybe she's mad. I don't know. I don't want to step in and jump in. It's not my area, so we'll talk about that. But first, I want to talk about the real crisis. That's your energy level. Are you out of gas in the afternoons? It's not your age. It's the fact you don't have a stack running through your blood veins like I do. I have natural herbal supplements from Chalk in my body. I'm just a ball of energy all the time now. I have 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds who email me and say, Jesse, my goodness, I feel 10 years younger. You want to feel better? Get some natural herbal supplements from Chalk in your body. Male Vitality Stacks. T levels up 20% in 90 days. Female Vitality Stacks for ladies. You're going to feel so good. You will end up, I get these emails too, you'll be mad at yourself for all the time you didn't take it. Go try it. Huge fat discounts on subscriptions at chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. All right. The Pope died. Now, I am not a Catholic, and so I don't feel qualified at all to discuss any of this. I know that he was thought of and certainly appeared to be a bit of a left-winger. I don't know where we go from here, where Catholics go from here. I don't know what happens here, but Liz Wheeler joins me to talk about that. Joining me now, Liz Wheeler, host of the Liz Wheeler Show. Liz, I am not Catholic. You are Catholic. The Pope died. The floor is yours.
It is. First, I'd just like to start by saying that I hope that others will join me in what I'm doing today, which is praying for the Pope's soul. Before we talk about politics and religion and the impact of the church and all of that, I disagreed with the Pope on a lot, but I am spending today praying for the repose of his soul. And I hope, regardless of whether you're Catholic or Protestant or evangelical or anything else, I hope that you'll join me in that.
All right. Well, there you go. So where does the Catholic Church go from here?
So the process, are you talking about the process for selecting a new pope and who might
yes,
be the next
exactly
pope
right.
and all of that? You know? Well, this is it's actually an interesting process. So what happens is officials of the Catholic Church called cardinals, who can be archbishops or just other church officials, they're the guys that wear red, the cardinals, they convene at the Vatican. That'll happen within the next couple weeks. I think the average amount of time between the death of a pope and what's called a papal conclave, which is when all the cardinals meet to elect a pope. I think that takes a couple of weeks, usually about 2 weeks before that happens. They'll all meet at the Vatican and they will go to mass together at St. Peter's Basilica. They will pray that the Holy Spirit guides them into electing the next pope. They will then take an oath of absolute secrecy, which is where a lot of the myths and legends about this come from. And they will then march from St. Peter's Basilica to the Sistine Chapel. Once inside the Sistine Chapel, they will start casting secret ballots. They write down who they want to vote for the next pope. They fold their paper in a certain way. They march one by one up to the front of the Sistine Chapel. They drop their twice folded ballot in a chalice. It's then counted aloud. In order to be elected pope, a cardinal has to receive 2/3 of the vote. So it's not just a plurality, it's 2/3 of the vote, which means there's often multiple rounds of voting before a pope is elected. Now, a lot of us, whether you're Catholic or not, are familiar with the black smoke coming out of the papal conclave. That means a vote has happened, but the result has not been that a pope has been elected, at which time they burn the ballots with a chemical that causes black smoke. When a candidate has received 2/3 of the vote, they burn the ballots with a chemical that causes white smoke. That means a pope has been elected. And then the pope is announced in with the new papal name and with the garments of the pope and blesses the world. In short,
okay. I don't understand how this works. As far look, I we don't have exit polls here, right? As you just mentioned, the secrecy okay. of it. I did hear Catholics complain about how left-wing this pope seemed to be. Is that the direction the International Catholic Church is going? Do we get the sense that they're going to lurch back the other direction? I don't know how this works.
Well, right. And I think that your question and even confusion is felt not just by non-Catholics. It's felt by a lot of the Catholic faithful. Because Pope Francis, in my opinion, the hallmark of his papacy is confusion. His actions often didn't match his words. He would give conflicting comments or comments that conflicted with his policies, and it left a lot of the faithful confused about issues where we really need moral clarity. I find that to be very destructive to the faith. As I said, that's my analysis of Pope Francis's papacy here. So the College of Cardinals, popes select cardinals, and Pope Francis, I believe, has selected over 80 of the 137 eligible Cardinals to cast their ballots. So you would think, okay, well, maybe he packed the College of Cardinals with people who have a more left-leaning theology and ideology that he does. We don't really know because the process is secret. He's also not allowed, Pope Francis has not allowed these cardinals around the world to gather in large groups over the course of the year. So they don't have good working relationships. So they haven't formed their cliques and clubs and chosen favorites. So your guess is as good as mine. I can tell you who I would like to be the next pope. I would like to see Cardinal Robert Serra the next pope. I would like a more traditional theology to reign supreme in the Catholic Church. I do think that there's a misconception, and this is among Catholics and non-Catholics, about the role of the pope. Just because Pope Francis embraced an ideology that informed his theology that's, in my opinion, counter to a lot of the doctrine of the church, doesn't mean that he changed the doctrine of the church. Catholics are not obligated to adhere to or believe the pastoral teachings of a pope, as strange as that may seem to Protestants or evangelicals. A pope does not speak infallibly every time he opens his mouth. A pope speaks infallibly very, very infrequently. It's only happened twice since the Second Vatican Council. And so just because a pope is left-wing doesn't mean the doctrine of the church changes. It's kind of, the comparison that I use often is that when Obama was president of the United States, it didn't change our constitution. It didn't change our declaration and our founding documents. He just misinterpreted them and then applied his misinterpretations to policy. That's somewhat how it is in the Catholic Church as well. Doctrine cannot be changed by a pope. He can simply misinterpret it or confuse the faithful. So I think a lot of us are hoping and praying that a more traditionally conservative in his theology candidate will be elected as the next pope.
All right. There you go. Told you we were going to have a Catholic say. Let's switch gears and go to something else near and dear to your heart. RFK Jr. was out there talking. Here's what he said.
Autism destroys families. More importantly, it destroys our greatest resource, which are our children. Within 3 weeks, and probably we're hoping in 2 weeks, we're going to announce a series of new studies to identify precisely what the environmental toxins are that are causing it. This has not been done before, and we're going to do it in a thorough and comprehensive way, and we're going to get back to with an answer to the American people very, very quickly.
Liz, talk to me about autism. What causes it? What do you believe? What's RFK doing? The floor is most definitely yours. This ain't my area.
You know, what I want to see and what I hope to see from RFK, and I think that this is what he's announcing, is I most want to see a study that compares the health outcomes of what the CDC would define as fully vaccinated children compared to children that the CDC would consider to be partially vaccinated, compared to children who the CDC would consider to be unvaccinated. I want to see the health outcomes of these children, and that could be done very quickly. When RFK announced that we would have the answer to what is causing this epidemic of autism by September, there were a lot of people that scoffed and said, how could you possibly know the time that it would take you to answer such a large question? And my answer to that is, well, you don't have to conduct long-term observational studies. You can take the outcomes of people who already fall into these categories to compare, you know, correlation and causation, and just to inform the American people of the impact of some of these toxins. It's not just vaccines. I mean, he's talking about environmental toxins like fluoride in the water and hormones in meat and what's in our air and, you know, the chemicals and dyes in our food and all different kinds of things that clearly, antibiotic use, all different kinds of things that have clearly impacted the health status of the American people compared to prior generations. So I find this to be very exciting. I was a little, to be honest, disturbed 2 weeks ago when RFK posted on X and praised the MMR vaccine. He had said, you know, he'd traveled down to Texas for the so-called measles outbreak. And he had said he's helping Texas get stocked with much needed MMR vaccines. And he said the best way to prevent the spread of measles is this vaccine. And I thought to myself, who is this typing this post? Because the RFK that I know and love wrote a book about the risks of the MMR vaccine, and he's now contradicting himself. But the man that I saw in the press conference that you showed, Jesse, that's the RFK that we know and love, who is not bringing a preconceived notion to the podium. He is bringing science and studies and data and evidence to inform you as a parent about the risks, the harms, and the benefits of these medical interventions that currently are required on our children. And I'm so grateful and excited to see that.
Well, that's what you call a ringing endorsement. Liz, thank you so much. I appreciate you. All right. White House just made an announcement related to COVID. It does matter. It does matter. We have to keep talking about that. Speaking of health, I prefer natural things. I have always preferred natural things. I don't like pills. Over-the-counter, prescription, I don't like pills. And when it comes to sleeping, we are generally tempted to just go grab something from the pharmacy, aren't we? Well, I'll just grab something. Well, that's why you're tired when you wake up. Yeah, oh yeah, you'll sleep 8, 9, 10 hours, 14 hours, and then you wake up and feel like garbage. That's why I love Dream Powder from Beam. It's a cup of hot chocolate. That's all it is. But it's got all kinds of natural things in it, like reishi and melatonin and things like that. You'll go to sleep like a baby, and when you wake up, you won't be heavy and groggy with sandpaper eyes. You'll feel good. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back. I want to talk about Dr. Fauci and COVID and the system and the lies. And yes, I am aware that it is, what is it, April 21st? April 21st, I'm aware. But we're not going to let this go. We're not going to allow the destruction of American freedom, jobs, economy, school, children. We're not going to just let it go and act, well, no, I'm not going to let it go. I'm not. There are things that I'm never going to let go. I'm never going to forget. I'm going to continue to bring this up until I get some sort of justice on this earth. I want to bring up an interesting aspect of it, because there's a lot of things we could talk about when it comes to COVID. But remember all the debate over the origins of COVID? Right away. Remember right when it came out, people wanted to know, hey, new virus, where did it come from? Right? Was it Africa? And then we found, okay. It was China. All right, I'm learning like you're learning. We're all learning at once. I'm watching TV, I'm reading stuff. Okay, came from China. All right, we got that. And then there were debates. Well, it looks like it came from Wuhan, city in China. Oh, okay, well, I don't know about Wuhan. I've never been there before. All right, you say so. Cool. And then didn't take long for people to figure out, well, wait a minute, there's a lab in Wuhan. A lab that works with viruses? That's interesting. Hey, is that where it came from? And that question, more specifically, the answer to that question was so revealing to me early on about how ugly this whole thing was. Because immediately, every single part of the system, the freaking Central Intelligence Agency, every part of the system, the media, the doctors, everybody insisted that that couldn't be it. But you didn't know that. Nobody knew that yet. What do you mean? Why are you demanding that? You don't know. It was from an animal market or something. Okay, maybe. Maybe, but are you seriously? You know it didn't? You know it didn't come from the lab? Fauci was all over TV saying this.
We still open up and keep always an open mind as to whether or not this had to do with a virus that was isolated out in the environment and that came into a lab and then had what most people refer to as a lab leak. I believe that is less likely that that's the case, but I also believe we need to keep an open mind and have all possibilities be investigated. But the evidence from the virology community points strongly towards a natural occurrence.
Yeah, no. Look, we need to look into it, but it's definitely probably a natural occurrence, except we just got a report out from the White House, COVID report, and it says a lot of things in it. But one thing we know now, we know, while Fauci was on TV talking about having an open mind, Fauci, he worked to destroy anybody who said it might come from a lab. He worked to discredit anybody people part of that community? We're talking accomplished people. Fauci worked really hard to discredit and destroy them if they said it came from a lab? The lab? That doesn't sound like keeping an open mind. That sounds like a nefarious supervillain working very hard to cover something up for some reason. In fact, almost sounds like somebody trying to cover up a crime, doesn't it? And I think about that. I think about the fact that Fauci made $3.5 million last year. I think about the fact that Fauci is still on television saying things like this.
Maybe it was, yeah, I think,
in retrospect.
I think what people are getting confused is the idea of shutting things down temporarily was the right decision. Everyone agrees.
We all tell flatten the curve, but when the curve got flattened, we didn't get to send kids back to school.
What happened is that there became almost an ideological divide. One thing is very clear. Masks work. You see a lot of people say, oh, masks don't work. Masks worked.
No, they didn't. Everyone knows that. That stupid mask you wear didn't stop a microscopic virus. Everyone knows that. Don't set aside your common sense for somebody with a lapel pin that says doctor on it. Everyone knows that. That stupid paper mask of yours did nothing at all. Everyone knows that. But he feels completely comfortable saying things like that, raking in a bunch of money, because we've never had an actual reckoning. And remember, it was Fauci's recommendation, it was his endless recommendations that paved the road for tyrants like this.
Your right to go out for a walk in the park, go out for a walk because you need to get out of the house, the dog is getting on your nerves, fine. Don't infect me. You don't have a right to infect me. If you are going to be in a situation in public where you may come into contact with other people in a situation that is not socially distanced, you must have a mask or a cloth covering nose and mouth. That is by executive order.
Maybe that doesn't anger you or blow you away, but you realize a governor should never talk to you like that? Here's what you're allowed to do, and if you're going to do this, you better wear that, or you better do that, and you're not allowed to do that. I've made the... Still to this day, I can feel my blood pressure rising. You know what? We need to go. I need to go make fun of Jasmine Crockett. It'll make me feel better. We have Light in the Mood. Next. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And I've told you this before, I'm going to tell you again. Jasmine Crockett is not going to be in Congress for that much longer. I'm not saying next election cycle, not saying that. But give it 2 or 3 election cycles, Democrats are going to get Jasmine Crockett out of Congress because she's bad for the brand. She's bad for the party. And you've seen this over and over and over again. The street communists, they finally make the transition because they all want to be elites, right? They all want to get off the streets and get into the elites. They all want to be in Congress with the fancy cars and the staff and the TV. But you are only allowed to remain there if you don't cause problems. If you cause problems, if you're Jamal Bowman, you can't stop pulling the firearm. You're Cori Bush, you can't stop bringing up bad headlines. You're going to be gone. Jasmine Crockett has fallen in love with the fame. She's fallen in love with the camera. It's going to be your downfall.
This is the second to the last episode of the show. Congresswoman, I wanted to thank you for always getting up and early and delivering it. But I also want to say thank you for your continuing support for democracy. It's definitely something that you have made your brand, and it's the integrity that you're bringing. And I'm grateful for you always.
We'll miss you.
Oh. You can't have me crying at the beginning of a show, Jasmine. Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, you haven't seen the last of me. Thank you for being here and getting us started today. I always appreciate you. Thank you.
Oh, gosh. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.